Well, good evening. It's good to see all of you out. You're really spread out here, and being down closer to everyone, you know, you kind of have to kind of pan here, you know, to see everyone. But it's good to see all of you out, and we're privileged to have Jim and Bonita Bunsen with us, and they're going to come and share with you the burden that they have for the Jewish people, and they're planning on going down south to St. Louis, Missouri. That's where they believe God is calling them. And so they'll be sharing with us here pretty soon. But we want to have a time of singing songs of praise to our Lord. And so let's go ahead and do that. And first of all, we want to open in prayer. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for bringing us back here again this evening. I do pray that we had a restful and profitable afternoon. And that even this evening, as we sing songs of praise to you, I pray that it would be well-pleasing in your sight. Pray that we always have upon our mind who Jesus Christ is, what he has done for us, and truly the great need that is all around us, lost people needing to hear about Jesus Christ. And so I do pray that you would use us in a great way. Pray that you would even use Jim and Bonita in a great way as they desire to reach the Jewish people for Jesus Christ. I do pray for the salvation of souls. I pray for the discipleship of souls as well, and I pray that your church would grow. And so we do pray that you'd bless this evening in a great way. Pray that your name would be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's begin this evening with 467. As you turn there, why don't you go ahead and stand with me, and we'll sing Anywhere with Jesus. 467.
Well, I don't know if they have another tune or not. Let's see where
Anywhere with Jesus is tuned the day before.
No, this is the words are right, but I think the
it's in the end of
song book. Yeah. Let's see where creatures have it. We're going
to voice every night. That's right. I've never heard of this song before in my life. I just assume that since you picked it, that you can't find it.
I know the words, but I don't know the music in the song.
Can we try?
We can try.
Why not?
Thank you.
this hearing to number 299. In a missionary context, although I hope that all of us are willing to go wherever the Lord wants us, but also in decisions we make. Day by day, there are decisions that God wants us to make. And the Bible says that we're to choose the best thing even over the good thing. So whether what we have to before us someday is something that is perfectly all right, God might be asking us to be doing something that is even better, that might require some more work from us, might require some more toil. But if that is the best thing, if that is what God desires of us, that is the choice that we need to be making. So as we're saying that this evening, think of it in that context as well. 36. So for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. I hope that it's not a trial for us to praise Him. Even the one tongue we have, and even more such that we can echo with the song writer that we could have a thousand tongues to sing God's praises. So let's see, 76. Thank you. favorite song, I know you go around to all these churches and you probably have to endure seeing hymns that you've never heard before, many of them. And so we're going to ask you, is there a favorite hymn that you don't get to sing often enough?
Well, you know, it's amazing, like, because some of the ones you just sung are some of the ones that I like. But can we do Sweet Hour of Prayer?
Yeah.
Is that something you're
familiar? I think that's a favorite one here, so let's sing that one.
433.
433. Oh, you see the hand slip it up and slip it back down. Savior, mm-hmm. who is Christ the Lord, and in Him we have the victory. And in Him, as the Apostle Paul says many times, that we are soldiers, and we're even soldiers of the cross. He even uses imagery of Roman armor in Ephesians 6. So let's sing and stand together as we sing 418, "Am I a soldier of the cross?" And read.
Thank you very much. What's your name?
Steven.
Steven. possum. He's eating.
I just have to say, I really appreciate it. And I need to turn this one.
Does this work? Okay, and this is off, right? Okay. I just want to say I really appreciate Stephen's ministry. I love when the song leader explains the songs and kind of gets a little bit of preaching. Maybe it's because I'm a preacher, but I like that. So I appreciate his ministry today. I'm going to, my name is Jim Button. This is my wife, Benita. We are missionaries with International Board of Jewish Missions, and I will explain some of that, but I'm going to let my wife share her testimony, and then I'll come back and explain some more. So, Benita, would you come up and share your testimony, please?
I'm not tall, I'm a pastor, you know, so it doesn't matter a lot. First of all, I want to thank you so much for allowing us to go through your missionary cupboard, the church that Jim and I were married in, and when we met, we went there, we always had a missionary cupboard there, and it was so wonderful to just be in that ministry in it, and to be able to provide things as we came through, and you just don't realize how vital of a ministry that is to us. And now being on the receiving end rather than the giving end, it is still very much a blessing. Thank you. My testimony isn't one of those woohoo kind of testimonies. And I've talked to Jim about it so many times about, I wasn't saved from a life of drugs and alcohol. And, I didn't grow up in an abusive home. But I say that to say this, that even though I was saved at 5 years old, I was still a sinner. I still have that instinct to lie and to steal and to cheat, to be disobedient to my parents, which goes on to be disobedient to God, and it goes down the line. I was still a sinner at 5 years old and bound for hell just as much as somebody who was like my husband, who was saved in their 30s, and was still bound for hell too. And as God spoke to my heart, he said, Juanita, you need to accept me as Lord and Savior of your life. And at 5 years old, I accepted him as Lord and Savior. And as life went on, my parents taught me things. They taught me, we were talking tonight, Pastor's wife and I was talking about, well, God, didn't put this little thing on your shoulders. It's a pretty decoration. He gave it to you to use and to think and to put God's word in your heart. And I had wonderful teachers and Sunday school teachers and youth pastors and wives that really taught me about the Word of God, not just my parents. My parents thought it was very important to be in Sunday school and church. And even though my dad, when I was in eighth grade, decided not to come anymore, he still didn't care if we did. And by the way, I just have to tell you that he came back as easy as he quit. He just stopped going one Sunday, and one Sunday he walked back into church and has been faithful since then. I don't know. I didn't ask questions. My father's a very solitary man, and some questions you may not ever get an answer for, so you just praise God for them. But when I was in my teenage years, I'm so thankful that God convicted me so strongly about things. I never tried to sneak around and do things. If I was going to do it, I just did it, because God would never let me go. He just kept saying, hello, hello. You're not following what I asked you to do. This is not right. And as our youth pastor at that time asked me, actually all of us did, what does God have for your life? What does he want for your life? Have you given him your life? Have you totally surrendered everything you have in your heart and your soul to him to be used for his service? And Francis was one of those men. He worked at Iowa Power and Light for 30, 40 years, retired from there, raised six kids, and was just a wonderful man that did behind the scenes in our church, was a faithful deacon, was there when the doors were open. He didn't have a huge college education behind him with doctorates and all of that. He just wanted to serve God, and he studied God's word. Mm-hmm. And actually, he was very active in our service. Jim and I were youth pastor and wife until the end of June in our church, and he was still teaching Sunday school until the time he passed away. He taught Sunday school, 2 or 3 weeks before he passed away this last spring. He never stopped serving God. He was a great example.
That's right.
And but the one thing he always said, whether it be that you're a mom or your dad, that you're faithful in having your kids in church, that you're, you know, president of a company, whether you're a missionary, a pastor, youth pastor, your wife, whatever it may be, is God using you? Have you given your life to Him to be what He wants you to be? And at that time, never in my wildest dreams that everything that I would be standing here today, being a missionary's wife. And as I surrendered my heart to Him, it was really hard. It was a struggle because Francis always told us, you remember when you give your heart to God, you just can't take it back. Once you give it to God, it's His. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't say, well, I'll give it to you when I want to or when I don't want to. And then I'll take it back when I want to do what I want to do and say, you know, hide that little room in there you can't have. And I struggled with that my whole senior year in high school. And our church this was about this size, and you know, I didn't have a very long aisle to walk down, and I thought, I went to Pensacola Christian College that fall, and guess what? I didn't give my life to God. I ran from it. You know, I didn't have to walk that aisle. And just like God didn't let Jonah go, He didn't want to go either. I went to Pensacola Christian College, and amongst all the strangers, not knowing anybody there, and at that time, our church met in a gymnasium. And the first message of the evening service of that night was, have you given your life to God? And I thought, oh, He still is in Pensacola too, isn't He? I mean, He has never let me go. He's in Iowa, He's in Florida. He's everywhere. He doesn't let me go. And as He spoke to my heart, I gave my life to Christ that night as far as doing what He wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. Dedicating my life to Him and surrendering to Him my life. That I had asked Him as my Savior when I was 5 years old. Now I've given Him my life to do what He wants to do with it, wholeheartedly. And I don't see a lot of young people around, but I always tell them this. You know, it would have been a lot easier to walk the aisle. It was a lot shorter in my home church. And there was people there, my pastor, and people in my church who loved me and cared about me that would celebrate that decision of my life. And I ran from God to walk down an aisle that was probably 2 or 3 times that length. And when I got down there, it was a stranger at the end. And, you know, I always tell young people, when God speaks to you, make those decisions and share with your church family because they really are praying for you and love you. And that's one thing I always try to encourage them to do. And as time went on, I went into my sophomore year, God spoke to my heart. I was in education, secondary education, and He said, no, I want you in youth ministry. And as I went on, I changed my major, and I went on and went on, and I'm thinking, Lord, you know, the youth ministry is here. You know, I cannot be the husband of one wife. I am not a preacher. I cannot be a youth pastor. You know, what do you want me to do? And I graduated, and I said, God just said, just keep doing what you're doing. And I went back home to my church, and I served there, and worked with our young ladies, and taught Sunday school, and was having a great time, and... And then I met Jim, and he came into my life, and well, let's just say things haven't been the same since then. God has just changed my life so much, and if people look at me and say, where would you be in 10 years? I don't even try to answer those questions, because you never know when you're serving God where you're going to be in 10 years. 10 years ago, when you ever figured out I'd be married, or a youth pastor's wife, or a missionary's wife, and more on deputation, and traveling, and doing things for the Lord. But as God has talked to Jim and I about this, mine was a little different. God had started speaking to Jim's heart when he was at Faith through the instructors and through God's Word and through classes about Jewish missions. And he kept telling me, he says, oh, by the way, we're going to Chattanooga. We're going to go do this 4-day focus thing. And I'm thinking, okay, I guess I'm going. All right, so I'll make sure everything's packed. And as I get down there, I realize the 4-day focus is about Jewish missions. And I kept sitting the whole time, once again, going, not for me. I don't know why we're here. Because this isn't what God's called me to do. And as I started to run, God said to me, wait a minute, do you really want to do this again? And Jim started to talk to me about it, and I said, you know, honey, I just really need some time to pray about this. I really need some time to let God work in my heart. And as God worked in Jim's heart and He worked in my heart, it wasn't a decision of, are we going? It was, when are we going? More of a decision that way. And missionaries' applications only in January. So we decided, was it going to be January 2010 or January of 2011? And as God worked in our heart and our life, we decided that we needed to start now. That if we're going to serve God in this capacity and we want to be on the field, we need to start now instead of delaying it a year later. And if God was going to take care of all the things that we thought were obstacles, He could take care of them even while we were on the field.
That's right.
And that's what we've done. And we just are so thankful to be here with you tonight and to enjoy your fellowship and enjoy sharing our ministry with you. And I'm going to let Jim tell about how God has worked in his life and how he came to know the Lord as his Savior and his testimony also.
Thank you. That was nice. Okay. Is it all?
Yes.
Okay. I feel loud, but maybe I'm not loud. I just want to share a little bit of my testimony. And I came a different route, but I want to say one thing. Everything is part of God's plan. And one of the things that I found out from my wife after we were married was when she was 5 years old. Now, incidentally, she is actually for 2 weeks, she will, from November 2nd to November 14th, be 5 years older than I am. And she was challenged by her Sunday school teacher to pray for the man that they would marry. And she has been faithful in praying for the salvation and for the walk of the man that God would bring into her life as a husband. And just like Joseph went into Egypt ahead of his brothers to prepare the way, her prayer prepared the way for what we're doing today and what we've done to serve the Lord. So I'm very thankful for her prayers. And that's one thing that we need to challenge our young people about, is praying for their spouse. That was a very important ministry that she had in my life. I grew up, my parents were both unsaved. To the best of my knowledge, don't know about my mom. She goes to a Lutheran church and she says she's saved, but I'm not sure God knows. But the one thing I remember about my dad, and I've never asked him if this is true or not, but I remember being really little and I remember my dad reading from the Bible. Now, my dad hardly speaks about religion. If you tell him what you're doing in Sunday school or you explain to him what you're teaching, he'll listen. And I've given him tracts and I've, you know, but he won't respond to it. And so, but I remember that. And so what I challenge you as parents is, you know, be there for your kids. What your kids see you doing, they will remember. Even the very little things that you think are just insignificant, they're going to remember that. And that's going to have an impact eternally. So I'm thankful. Maybe one of the days I'll ask my dad about that. But as I grew up, my mom made sure I was in Lutheran catechism. And one thing I'm thankful for the Lutheran Church, is I was always taught, at least the Lutheran Church I went to, is God's Word was His Word. And it was reliable and truthful. And that was really important, because when folks came along and as I studied the Word of God, and I found out what it really said about salvation, and I had to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believed that was true. And I went through a period of time in my life where I just totally walked away from God. From 18 to 32, I just didn't have anything to do with God. But I remember one thing. I remember the Holy Spirit used something one of my football coaches told me. And it was very insignificant, but He used it in my life. And my football coach, which I wrote a letter to and witnessed to him through a letter, and I believe he is saved. He told me, he said he was sitting on the bench, it was just me and him in the bleachers at school, and he said, you know, one of the greatest gifts that God gives us is talent. And we can show our love for Him by using that talent. And that stuck in my mind. And when I was 32 years old, I was working as a political organizer. I did field work. I organized phone banks and door-to-door and things of that nature. But God was working in my heart, and God was prompting me to want to go back to church. And I started going back to the Lutheran Church. That's all I knew. And I met my wife. And you want to know why I didn't have Sunday evening services? I can give you a reason. I was going to the Lutheran Church in the morning, but Lutherans didn't have an evening service. And so I asked Benita, I said, can I come to your church in the evening? I really wanted to learn. I like to learn anyway, but I wanted to learn about God. And God was drawing me to Himself. And God said, if you seek me with all your heart, I will permit myself to be found. And that's what was going on in my life. Now, Pastor Alec Bauman Sr. was the pastor at our church at Grace Baptist in Winterset. And Pastor Bauman said, I have a discipleship I'd like to have with you, if you're willing. It's a year and a half. And he said to me, he said, you have to be committed. He said, you have to stick it out. And I thought, and I said, yeah, I really would like to do this. Now, this is a side note. It actually took 2.5 years because in between, Pastor Bauman was had cancer, and God healed him, and Benita and I were married, and so it actually took 2.5 years. But through that Bible study, I came to realize that I needed to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I need to believe that He personally died on the cross for my sins, and that I am a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and I need to receive or believe in Him as my personal Savior. On August 20th, could I have a glass of water, Pastor? Would it be okay? On August 27th of 2000, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And God really wasn't done with me. God started working in my heart, and I just really just had a desire to teach. I wanted to teach His Word. And Pastor Bauman allowed me to be part of the Awana program. Actually, I was the commander. And I was scared. It's really interesting because right now in our church, we have another gentleman who is just a new Christian, and he's the Awana commander. And it's so neat to be there and to watch him as he grows and learns. But that's the way I was. I didn't know anything. And I, you know, I had to do the council time, and I didn't know what to do. And it was scary, but it was fun because you saw the kids, and they were just so excited, for the most part, to learn God's Word and to learn about God, and just to see them. We saw kids come to know the Lord as their Savior, and we did visits with the parents and all the, well, except for maybe a few, but everybody was just gracious, and it was just amazing to see God work and to see how He uses us. Although we're just vessels, He uses us in an amazing way. Thank you very much. Now the trick is going to be, I actually hand it to my wife because I don't know where else to do with it. I just needed to drink a little bit. So God was working in my heart, and God was saying to me, you need to go back to school. I had to get my rocks out before I forget. And so I started back at Faith Baptist Bible College. I already had an undergraduate degree, and so I went to seminary. And at the same time, God was moving us. This is about 3 or 4 years later after I was saved, to Calvary Baptist Church in St. Charles, Iowa, where Pastor Doug Helton is the pastor. And Benita, that's the church she went to when she was a kid and when she was in high school. And God was moving us. And I remember thinking, I remember having a conversation, actually, Mr. Tim Crown, I think it's Mr., I don't think it's Dr., right? Mr. Tim Crown was spoke at our church, at Great Baptist Church, and one of the things he said, I remembered. And he said, you know, when I first went to Altoona, all I did is I wanted to serve. And I just went there to serve. I told the pastor I want to serve. And eventually God opened the door for him to be the pastor of that church. And I remember him saying that. And so when Benita and I were driving down the road, I remember Benita saying, you know, there's a youth pastor there. He'd been there 5 years. And he's probably going to be there a while. And so I thought, you know, I just want to serve. I don't care how God uses me. I just want to serve. And so we went to that church. And in November, we started working with the young people. In May, Pastor Jeff announced that he was going to accept another call to another church. And Pastor Doug asked us if we'd be interested in becoming a youth pastor and wife. And we were called by the church on November of 2006. And we were there until the end of June of this year. And here's the part that is amazing. We found out later that Pastor Jeff had been praying, him and his wife Heidi had been praying in August. We came to the church in September for someone to come alongside their ministry, because they had already decided that they were going to accept the call and come alongside their ministry, and someone that the church could call as the associate youth pastor after they were gone. And so God was praying, or they were praying, and God was working. And sometimes it's amazing when you look back and you can actually see what God is doing. It's no accident. The book of Ruth, I think, says, by chance she happened on a field owned by Boaz. And I always thought that was interesting, by chance, because it wasn't by chance. It was God's plan. And so, kind of, let's go forward a little bit. And as I was taking classes, particularly Dr. John Hartog III was an influence, because he had such a passion for Jewish people and a passion for seeing Jewish people know the Lord as their Savior. And that just kind of rubbed off on me. I don't know why, but it did. And as I studied the history of the Jewish people, not just the biblical history, but the history of the Jewish people through the centuries after Christ. And if you can see one thing, you know what? The miracle, there's the state of Israel. If you study the history of the Jewish people, you have to believe there is a God. Because there's no reason for there to be a state of Israel if there wasn't a God. And a God had promised, he said, I'm going to scatter you to the foremost parts of the earth, but then I'm going to bring you back. And we're seeing the beginning of what's going to be as the rapture of the church takes place, which is going to happen in the 7 years of tribulation and in the millennium kingdom. And we're just seeing that, and it's amazing. But if you study the history, there's been so many people who have tried to destroy the Jewish people. Hitler was just the first. If you study the history, there have been thousands of years of people who said, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people. But they're God's people, and they're protected by God, even in their disobedience. So God was working in my heart as I studied His Word. And Benita kind of filled in some of the gaps. I'm going to kind of speed ahead a little bit. I contacted IBJM. Actually, Aaron Brotnick spoke at our seminary. I don't know if you were there when Aaron spoke. He's with IBJM. He was in Israel. And so I knew about the International Board of Jewish Missions. And so I contacted them. And I said, you know, I have a burden. I said, St. Louis has 60,000 Jewish people. Particularly, University City has 6 Orthodox synagogues. And I have a burden for church planting in St. Louis, and I have a burden for the Jewish people. And I think this is where God's calling me. And so they contacted a gentleman, Pastor Gary Huffman, who's at Calvary Baptist Church in Belleville, Illinois. And Pastor Huffman, we're going to talk about prayer again, he had been praying for at least a couple of years, I think even further back, for someone to come and reach the Jewish people in University City area. And also, I came to find out later that another pastor had been praying, Pastor Eric Winslow at Wildwood, which is on the western side of where we're going to be ministering, and Pastor Huffman on the east side. So they had it covered with prayer. And God was working in our heart. And Pastor Huffman invited me to St. Louis, and he invited me to show me around University City. And part of that process is something I'll never forget. I'll never forget this. We saw all the sites, but the last thing I think we saw, we pulled into a parking lot. And I remember a kind of a gray wall at the end of the parking lot, and you pulled in perpendicular. And I remember as we pulled in, I remember seeing this writing, and I don't remember the words, and I really don't want to remember the words, but they were very hateful words to Jewish people. And so we were in a van, so we got out of the van and we went to our left. And I remember there was an entryway, and there was a sign kind of on a gray block sign. And it was written in Hebrew and in English. It said, Ohav Shalom Cemetery, which is Loving Peace Cemetery. And when you walk through, it's kind of an entryway. It was amazing. It was November. And it was green. It was very luscious, bright green. And that's what really attracted my attention first. But then I saw row after row of memorial stones, tombstones. And on these tombstones were written in Hebrew, Russian, and English. But I remember one in particular. I remember a lady called Flora Gottschalk, is what it said on her tombstone, memorial stone, and under it said she believed it was better to give than to receive. And I thought that's very interesting, because that is not mentioned in the Old Testament at all. It's mentioned in the book of Acts chapter 20, where Paul is quoting the Lord Jesus as something he said, not mentioned in the gospel, but it's something the Lord Jesus said, and Paul is saying it's more blessed to give than to receive. The Jewish people have the truth, they just don't know it. And that's why we're going. But the thing I remember the most is these. Jewish culture, they don't place flowers on the graves. They place stones. Now, the something about stones is they're forever. Stones don't fade away. They don't go away. They're forever. And as I looked at all these memorial stones, these tombstones, if you will, some of these had one, maybe two of these pebbles, these little stones. And what I want to tell you is this. Those tombstones, those people, like Ms. Gottschalk, most if not all, I wouldn't say all because I don't know, most if not all went into a Christless eternity. They didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But what I want to tell you about is these lively stones. I want to tell you about somebody we met during the Purim celebration, a man named Earl. He's an Orthodox Jewish man. He needs to know the Lord as his Savior. When you think of these little pebbles, I want you to think of people like Earl. And in this community, there are Jewish people all around this area. For Jewish people, during December, when you see the things in the malls where they're selling the creams and things, those are Israelis. One of the things that a gentleman who is the director of our mission is in Chattanooga, what he does is he actually invites those Israelis into his home. It's a thing they expect it every year. They're ready for him to invite. He comes in, they invite him, he invites them in their home. He's very musical, like I'm not, and he sings and they have a great time together. But they look forward to that. Every year he does that. There are things you can do, you know, and just encourage you. And I know that speaking to some of you, a lot of you do some things. So, and I remember the passage that says, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So I want you to think of these stones when you think of Jewish missions. And God was working. God called us into ministry. And I remember one time, and I'll just kind of summarize here, I remember saying to the Lord, I was praying, and I said, "Lord, I can't do it. I can't go to Jewish people. I'm a Gentile. You look at the Bible, look at Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Lord Jesus even, from human standards. They didn't have many converts. How can I go?" And the Lord always speaks through His Word. And he called me to remember Acts chapter 10. Remember Acts chapter 10 when Cornelius, a very devout man who prayed to God always and was full of alms to the people. Remember he said, the angel said, "Send for Peter and he will tell you what you ought to do." There are Jewish people that are full of good works. They're full of prayers, but they don't have access to the Father because they do not believe in Jesus Christ. And that's why we're going to St. Louis, is to preach the gospel and to bring it. And it's a ministry that Jesus said about something else that's out of context, but I think it applies. Jesus said about certain demons, he said, these only come out through fasting and prayer. I think it applies to Jewish missions. We need to be earnest with God, with the Jewish people, and we need to be prayer. And I covet your prayers. I covet your prayers. A little bit about the area that we're going. We're going to St. Louis, University City, Missouri. It's one of the older suburbs. What we hope to do is work through a local church, or several local churches there that have expressed interest in Jewish mission, and we'll initially be part of that local church. I'll work under that pastor's leadership with the goal that as we live in that community, and we want to live in University City, as we live in that community, we're going to be witnessing to Jewish people through door-to-door tracts, and more importantly, just getting to know them. They need to see, Paul said through the Holy Spirit, that we need to provoke them to jealousy by our life. So not only do we present the gospel by our mouth, but our lives present the gospel. I think this lady was sharing me some of the things that they have done in witnessing, reaching out to Jewish people. And so I appreciate that. But we're going to be there probably the first 2 to 5 years working in that local church leadership. And then hopefully as the Lord opens up opportunity, we're going to start a church in University City that's going to be reaching Jews and Gentiles. And it's a very multicultural area. It has a strong Orthodox Jewish population, which is most conservative and following the tradition. But they're blacks, Roman Catholics, just a very multicultural city. And so that's what we're going to be ministering. That's what we're going to be doing. And I think that's kind of sums that up. I'm going to answer any questions. I think we have probably about 5 minutes, is that correct? Or whatever. So is there anything I didn't go over that you wanted me to hit upon? Okay. All right. Any questions? And I don't have all the answers, but I like questions because they make me think. So any questions at all? We're at 8% right now. We started in July. We had a first meeting July 25th. So we're right about 8% right now. So I'm told that's not too bad. So, any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned that you were very interested, of course you are, because you're going to minister to Jewish people.
Yes.
But what part of or parts that you would want to share with us that really got your interest as far as, you know, the historical, you know, Jewish tradition and, you know, why?
Okay, let me repeat your question and make sure I understand. What part of the history of Jewish people really fascinated you the most? Yeah, me personally, yes, you. And I think, you know, I'm really weird. I'm strange. I shouldn't say weird. I'm strange. I'm unique. How that sound? I love the European history, particularly just before World War II. The community that the Nazis destroyed, obviously they didn't know the Lord their Savior, but they were really incredible communities. And there was such a sense of studying God's Word. Obviously, they really... That's the thing about the Jewish people, you have to realize. And I'm talking about Orthodox, okay? So you have to understand where I'm working, you're going to be Orthodox. There's other Jewish people who are atheists, and it's just I want you to understand that, because when I address questions, I'm talking about Orthodox, because that's really my calling. They had the unique communities. They really studied the Word of God, and they would just, you know, if you see them, they pray morning, afternoon, and evening, because they believe that because the temple is no longer in existence, their prayers actually cover their sin. And so it's just like the sacrifice. Instead of sacrificing a physical animal, they sacrifice the prayers throughout the day. And these communities were just vibrant, and they were incredible, and they had places of learning, and the Jewish people built these incredible cities, and the Nazis just destroyed them. And a lot of them came over here, and that's why America had been blessed, because God said, they who bless you, He said to Abraham, they bless you, I will bless them. And so I'm paraphrasing there, but so that's the part I really enjoyed the most. So just before World War II, maybe 1900 to 1940, 1939, and then, you know, I studied the Holocaust. I find it how interesting how in Bergen-Belsen, which was a concentration camp where a lot of the Jewish people were held, after they were liberated, they were in a displaced person camp because they didn't know what else to do with them, and they had an average of 2 weddings a day. at that camp of people getting married to other survivors. And so it's very fascinating. So that kind of hopefully answered your question. That's kind of what I enjoy. And I love the biblical history too, but that would be the extra part of what I enjoy. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am familiar. Yes, I am familiar with them. They do a good work in reaching Jewish people and do a super work. What we're doing is a little different because we're actually going to be starting a local church in reaching Jews and Gentiles both. But they do a terrific work in reaching, evangelizing Jewish people. So I am familiar. Yes, ma'am. Any other questions? Anything else? We do have a display. So after church, if you want to look at our display, I'll be glad to answer any questions. There are two menorahs there, and they're different. And so you may want to know why they're different. I'll answer that question. I'll answer now because I brought it up. One is a model. There's one with seven candlesticks, and that's the model of the one that's going to be in the temple. Actually, the Jewish people are rebuilding in Israel the things for the temple, and it would stand about this high if it was here, but that's the model. The other menorah is a menorah that's used for Hanukkah, and Hanukkah is the next Jewish holiday. It's going to be December 2nd this year. It varies every year because Jewish has a 360-day calendar, and we have a 365-day calendar, so it varies. So December 2nd this year will be Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is not mentioned at all in the Old Testament. And by the way, when you're witnessing a Jewish person, you don't say, hey, I'm going to witness out of the Old Testament. They call it the Tanakh, which is a term that Jesus used. It talks about the Torah, which is the law. That's the first part of it, Tanakh. The Nevi'im, which is the prophets, and that's the end part of that. And the Ketuvim, which is the writings. And so that's how they do that. So Tanakh would be are the law, the prophet, and the writings. Because they don't recognize the Old Testament because they don't recognize the New Testament. So any other questions that folks have? Well, wonderful. Thank you for having us. We'll be at the table. I appreciate you all having us in to explain. And please be in prayer. Like I said, we need prayer. There's a great field. I just want to mention one other thing. There are three areas that we will be somewhat involved in. The main thing is church planting, but when we arrive, we like to work with the students of Washington University. There are 12,000 students at Washington University. 2,600 are Jewish. And so we'd like to start a ministry to everyone, all the students, and hopefully it's something someone else could carry on and we could disciple them as we get more involved in church planting. The other thing of the real need is there's a gentleman that we were talking about, Garrett Buing, that's in a retirement center called Crown. I can't think of the whole term, but it's a retirement center. It's a Jewish retirement center, and he's a Christian man, Dutch. And there's a need to reach the Russian Jewish people who speak Russian. I don't speak Russian, but that would be a real need of prayer that maybe God would raise up someone who could minister to these folks who knows Russian real well. So those are three ministries that we'll be working. Pastor, do you want to close and I'll take my rocks and go home? No, just kidding. Thank you very much.
Sister Buntons as they endeavor to go to St. Louis. And so we have Dave and Lester coming forward. Thank you, Jim, for your presentation. Heavenly Father, we do thank you even for the message that was shared this evening. And truly we realize that you are so good to us. Your grace has been poured out and we don't deserve the least of it. Truly, you are a gracious God. We thank you for our salvation. We even pray for the lost throughout the world. And we realize both Jew and Gentile, apart from you, are bound for eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. And so I do pray, even as the Buntons are wanting to go to St. Louis and reach the Jewish population, as well as Gentiles also, I pray that you would bless them, that you'd use them in a great way. Pray that your word would go forth, that it would do great things, that souls would be saved and discipled. So even now as we have an opportunity to support them in this work, I pray that you'd be glorified in a great way. So we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This day we will serve you, we will serve the Lord. And it's in the name of our dear Savior's.